Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Film Pigs podcast on Feral Audio. No, we're not on anything.
We're not on any audio.
We're not on no audio.
We're hosted by the internet. Our network is the world.
We're currently on iTunes podcast ranked Dash. Or subsequently NA. Or do not register. My name is Stephen Falk. To my audio left is Stephen J. Skelton.
Hello, everyone.
To my audio right is Todd R. Anderson.
Hey, kids.
And this is the Film Pigs podcast. This is 2018.
Oh, it's the beginning of 2018. The first one.
This is, yeah.
It's the first podcast.
Milestone for us.
I'm feeling positive about the year, guys. I'm feeling mostly
feel
positive
good?
About the year of movies.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're looking forward to stuff.
I am. Well, no, not really. I don't look forward to things, but I'm just... Because I live in the moment. I live in the moment.
No, but you're just positive there will be movies.
I'm positive there will be movies. I'm just quite happy that about a movie development. I took my daughter to see a movie. She's 2 years and 4 months almost.
Ooh, is this her first movie?
First movie in the theater.
Oh, shit.
And we figured we'd make it like 20 minutes. We'd,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Down some popcorn and then she'd get fucking wiggly and we'd leave. Paddington 2.
Mm-hmm.
Sat through the entire thing.
Nice.
That's the power of a good movie.
It's the power of a good movie, and I have to say it's a really good movie. It's like Wes Anderson made a really, but not pretentious, like made a really silly, funny movie.
That's nice to hear, because I really like the first one, so I look forward to seeing the second one.
You don't have to make a movie like a straight G, like really, you don't have to make storks. It doesn't have to be for babies.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't have to be poop humor and just dumb.
You know my favorite G-rated movie of all time?
No.
The Rookie.
Oh. Right.
The one with Dennis Quaid.
Oh, I love The Rookie.
I haven't seen
it.
So
good. It's rated G.
That makes me cry. That's a movie that makes me cry.
Yeah.
Well, listen, guys. It's time for a little... movie news.
The constant nodding during the silence.
Well, I was cute. Waiting. I thought he was going to say it first.
We'll do it live. No, I know you did.
You weren't looking.
Literally, that's what we established. That in that silence that you thought I was waiting. I mean, it's nice of you to explain what happened. Movie news is where we send out our crack news staff individually. Now, we all have our different staffs.
I have a very large staff.
Yeah, I have mostly interns. I fired all of the salaried employees just when they were coming up on raises, and I just hired a bunch of interns.
Smart. That's a smart business.
It's American business.
You guys are
hashtag MAGA.
You guys are doing great. My staff is small and soft and effective.
Oh no.
Oh.
Anyway,
I just turned 46. I think
we,
that's normal.
We locate movie news in and around. Oh, yeah, it was your birthday recently. Happy birthday,
thanks.
Both of you guys.
Oh, thank you.
What did you do on your birthday, Todd?
On my birthday, I hung out with my wife, and we watched, I got really high, and we watched shitty movies. I watched Mayhem, and I watched Friend Request.
Oh, how was that?
Friend Request.
It was better than Mayhem.
From Byron Allen's production, from distribution company.
I'm a Byron Allen completionist, I had to watch it. I enjoyed Friend Request as far as junky horror movies go.
What'd you do on your birthday?
I laid around a lot on the Sunday and I read comic books and I got a new Star Trek episode.
Ah.
Because it started airing again. So.
So you had a 13-year-old's birthday.
Essentially,
yeah.
But today
we
jointly celebrated because we don't have jobs, Skell and I, by going to shitty movies. We saw Den of Thieves and Hostels, which maybe you can see a vlog about.
Who knows? Might be a vlog forthcoming.
Well, go to filmpigs.com to see if that's true. And well, that is technically movie news, and that is getting into the spirit of the segment where we give you. Hot off the presses news about the movie industry. Skelton.
Oh, you guys, this movie is so exciting. John Cena is in talks to star in Duke Nukem, The wrestler turned actor is in negotiations to star in Duke Nukem, a big screen adaptation of the popular video game franchise featuring the politically incorrect action hero that is set up at Paramount, you guys.
Paramount cannot lose.
Duke Nukem was so, it's a big video game from the 90s.
Yeah. I heard they're doing Myst soon.
Myst.
Stephen
King?
No, his joke was correct. It was a good pull.
It was a
really good pull, and you ruined it.
I don't remember.
You ruined it. Well, Todd, do you have a piece of movie news besides ruining Skeleton's movie news? My joke based on it.
Oh my God, you guys. Mm-hmm. My piece of movie news is about a Hollywood mystery that's happening right now.
I love mysteries.
There's a trailer on the internets that people are seeing and they're talking about. Nobody knows if it's real or if it's a joke.
The Cloverfield 3 one?
No, that's real. The question is, will it be released in theaters or go straight to Netflix? And the rumor is with that it's going right to Netflix. But I'm talking about...
I get excited when things show up at Netflix. It's exciting.
Oh, yeah. So you don't have to leave the house?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather watch Cloverfield 3 on Netflix. Yeah.
Well, I was actually being sarcastic.
Oh.
They're just dumping shit. It's just like, oh, great. Some new crap just came into my
head. Wait, you're not looking forward to Scorsese's The Irishman?
I am a little bit.
Coming soon on Netflix.
Although, here's the weird rub. I don't want to interrupt your news, but Bright, because I love Will Smith, I would have gone and seen it in the theater.
I would have too.
When they devalue it by dumping it and telling me it's a piece of garbage, I can just watch it any moment on my TV. I made it through like 12 minutes.
See, I'm the opposite. If I had seen it in the theater, I would have been pissed off. Mm. But I saw it at home on my couch, and I was like, this is fine.
Great.
Because I could get up and take it.
I'm like in the middle of both of you on that.
Yeah.
I sat through the whole thing on Netflix, but kind of with your attitude, why am I still watching this?
It's a frozen pizza.
But a microwaved frozen pizza. You didn't put it in the oven. You put it in the microwave.
But you were kind of high and hungry, and it was fine.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Sorry.
If it's in your living room, I find it more forgivable if it's in my living room.
Is this the thing I'm thinking of?
Yeah, the internet mystery is this. There is a trailer going around, and it's Danny McBride, and the name of the movie is Dundee. And the idea is he's the long-lost son of somebody from Australia whose name is Dundee. But nobody knows.
Is in there, right?
And a Hemsworth is in the trailer, but nobody knows if it's fake or real.
Or if it's a real
know.
Crocodile.
You know? Could you tell me?
Of course it's fake.
It's a fake thing.
Yeah, it's probably like a Funny or Die or like a Jimmy Kimmel thing or something.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
Because the trailer that I watched is not even remotely funny. I mean, it's Danny McBride being goofy and not taking anything seriously, and I understand the comedic appeal of that, but there's no actual jokes in it.
Oh.
So I thought maybe it was an actual teaser trailer
for a real movie. Yeah, you thought it was like a marketing.
Why would they keep that like quiet?
I don't know.
Because it just was whipped up last week as a sketch.
But why?
We gotta keep this Crocodile Dundee revival under wraps,
or it's an advertisement.
For something.
You know what it is? I'll bet you money. Super Bowl commercial.
Oh.
The Super Bowl is in a week and 5 days.
Yep. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Some Super Bowl.
That makes total sense.
I just solved the mystery.
You solved the mystery. We're done. Oh, we can move on. That's a solved mystery.
Guys.
My piece of movie news, which is, I kind of hope it's true. 82-year-old Woody Allen, who we put in movie jail unceremoniously threw in movie jail in December of 2017, after his critical and commercial failure of Wonder Wheel, starring Jim Belushi. And he's getting, you know, Me Too'd and Time's Upped all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan Farrow and Ronan Farrow and Mia Farrow have been all over the news lately. And he's totally persona non grata. All the actors are coming out and saying, I'm sorry, I worked with him. And even
donating their salaries.
Timothy Chalamet, who just worked with him in his upcoming movie, has given away his salary. Well, it looks like that movie, Rainy Day, may be dumped. Not in theaters, maybe just be like on Amazon, not even good.
Which is the new Woody Allen movie, Rainy Day.
Yeah, Rainy Day.
I can just see the title Rainy Day and the stupid Woody Allen credits with crappy jazz playing. Makes total sense.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was movie news. Thank you, crack news staff. Now it's time for... But it'll take a black one to move me. That's right, it's time for our theme segment. This is our theme discussion where we discuss things based on a theme. The theme based on my choice is very timely, very lazy. Things I really enjoy. Both things that are up to date and require no effort on my part. That is the Oscar nomination.
The who?
Excellent theme.
Dude, I'm still, my head is still reeling from these SAG awards. It's too soon to talk about the Oscars.
You still got SAG fever? You're still talking about all the excitement from the other night.
I have watched Gabriel Carteris' speech 7 times already.
I mean, who hasn't?
Oh, so good.
So eloquent.
She did not mention anything about embezzlement and voter fraud within the union, but that's fine. I mean, that wasn't the place for it.
No, it's not.
And also, she's probably involved.
So the Oscars, Oscar nominations were announced today by Tiffany Haddish and the monkey from the Planet of the Apes movie. And
Andy
Serkis.
Yeah, I forgot his name.
I was like Tim Roth, but wrong. That's Planet of the Apes.
That's the shitty one that everyone forgets, and you were the only one who remembers. Wait, Tim what? Roth. The Tim Burton Planet.
The Tim
of
Burton
Apes.
Planet of the Apes.
Tim Roth is the bad monkey.
He's the bad guy.
Wait, when was that?
With Marky Mark, yeah. It was Marky Mark versus
early aughts, maybe? Yeah.
That was not part of the sequel.
No, that's not.
It was before.
They don't discuss that.
I saw
it's
that.
Not. It's out of canon.
No. I had a slip. Definitely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay.
Checked out.
So we're gonna talk about the Oscar nominations. You know, you guys are not exactly, you know, Oscar lovers.
Oh no!
Yeah,
I've
which
changed,
is what makes this topic such a great choice.
Yeah, I changed my. I feel like anything that the Oscars that's talked about there is important.
Okay, good.
And now I have to watch all of it.
All right, so I'll read you the best pictures, and I'll just read you.
Are there 10 folds? 10 folds?
Nine
folds.
There's usually around 9. I don't think there's ever been 10 yet. But anyway, we'll just let this sit, and then we'll discuss.
Yeah.
Call Me By Your Name.
Mm-hmm.
The Darkest Hour. Dunkirk. Mm-hmm. Get Out.
Get Out.
Mm-hmm. Get Out. A February genre movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By a first-time director.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. Phantom Thread. The Post. Spielberg's not really that loved, but important. The Shape of Water and 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Interesting.
That's all?
It's all of them. Huh. Yeah. I, Tonya was left out. What else was left out? I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, I haven't seen all
Mudbound was left out.
But,
I've seen most of those. I'm surprised about that.
I know.
Call Me By Your Name.
No, I saw Mudbound. I know that's, we'll get to that for cinematography, I think.
Did you like Call Me By Your Name?
I did. I mean, I thought it was a good movie. I did. Yeah. I liked it.
I haven't seen all of it.
Darkest Hour? I have not seen that.
The Darkest Hour, for me, because we talked about, off mic, we talked about Lady Bird. You liked Lady Bird.
Yeah.
And I appreciated Lady Bird. I thought Lady Bird was a good movie, but it didn't like move me to tears or anything like that. And the Darkest Hour, I was like, yeah, I get why people like this, but it's too long. And I kind of thought Oldman's performance was a little bit scenery chewy. But
did you see The Crown?
Churchill is like that. No, I never watched it.
But I like Churchill better than Darkest Hour. I like Cox's Churchill better than Oldman's Churchill.
Oh, okay.
So you didn't see The Crown?
I haven't seen The Crown. So I haven't seen Lithgow's Churchill.
Lithgow's Churchill.
I mean, there's so many fucking Churchills to see.
No.
Yeah. You heard my advice about Darkest Hour.
What?
is at the hour mark, turn it off and watch Dunkirk in its entirety, and then watch the rest of Darkest Hour.
That said, Dunkirk, did you guys like that?
I love Dunkirk.
Yeah, we discussed
Dunkirk. I like Dunkirk. And we just said before, I had like some quibbles with the time structure.
Yes.
But overall, I still really like
Dunkirk. Is my favorite movie-going experience of the year.
For me, it's my favorite one of these.
Yeah.
I really like Get Out. I mean, Get Out, it's hard to choose. They're so very different.
Yeah, Get Out's great, Lady Bird.
But Dunkirk, I'm an action movie guy, first and foremost, and Dunkirk is a perfect action movie in my estimation. But it's interesting because I think all of these movies have suffered to a great degree for one reason or the other, backlash. You know, Three Billboards has socio-political backlash, and Dunkirk has a lot of, I don't know what the big deal is, backlash, like Lady Bird had. Like, they, I think all, this entire list of movies, I don't think any of them, I think they're all worthy of watching and discussing and all that. I don't think there's anything bad on the list, but I also don't think there's anything, maybe Dunkirk is great, but I understand the backlash against it. I don't think there's anything that's like so great.
Here's what I'll say though. I think if you actually look at all the Best Picture winners in the past, you'll realize it's kind of just dumb.
Oh no, I mean? Like,
we have this ideal of the best movie.
Right.
Yeah. But then when you start to realize like Birdman won a couple years ago.
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
well, and it's like Halle Berry won Best Actress, and she should have won in 2017 for Kidnap.
Swordfish.
For Kidnap. This past year, she should be nominated for Kidnap. It's the best movie about a kidnapping in 2017.
That's called Kidnap.
That's called Kidnap. It's not even kidnapped. It's Kidnap. It's just the noun.
Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread. Anyone see it?
I did not see that, but
I went to see a movie and ran into a friend of mine who was going to see it. And I tried to get him to go see the premiere.
I was there.
I seem to recall.
And he refused.
I seem to recall three idiots screaming at this poor guy who just wanted to enjoy a movie by himself.
The story behind that is the Film Pigs 2 weeks ago got really drunk. And then went to see, what did we see?
The Commuter.
Oh, yeah. We went to see Liam Neeson's The Commuter, who's doing a Waze voice.
Oh, yeah. He does.
And Christina, by mistake, set it up. So I hear, like, right, let's go if you dare. And like, what? Wait, what?
Which is way more thrilling than The Commuter.
Does he go, let's go if you dare? And people are being too hard on Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think there's some kind of witch hunt.
And then, and then we ran into our friend, and he was Steve Hicks, and he was on his way to see P.T. Anderson's movie. He's his idol.
Which is his favorite guy. It's clearly like a religious experience for him. It's a very personal and special thing. And we tried so hard to ruin it.
He has a family, including a baby. He's a baby, and it's hard to get away from that.
And he finally got out. And in my scotchy state, I literally was offended. That he would not come see a January dump of a movie with three idiots.
Because that was serendipitous that he ran into his three best friends in the whole world.
Well, yeah, serendipitous for us. Horrible bad luck from his perspective.
I've never seen anyone more disappointed to see me unexpectedly.
I don't think that's true.
Ever. Oh, no, there was some people in New York, yeah.
Okay, the Post... I thought it was boring.
I didn't see it. And I was going to go, and then I realized I have a copy of All the President's Men. And even though Dustin Hoffman's in it, and that's creepy, I just watched that anyway. Because it's a good movie.
The Shape of Water.
I saw that.
I did not see that, but I really want to see that.
It's fine. It's
not going to stand the test of time.
No, it's wildly overrated. And it's like
the front runner.
It's a fun, sweet monster.
And Three Billboards.
I like Three Billboards a lot.
Yeah.
And which apparently makes me a racist.
You are a racist.
I apologize. I'm working on it.
Lead actress Sally Hawkins, Shape of Water, Frances McDormand, Three Billboards, Margot Robbie, I, Tonya.
Oh, so they got I, Tonya in there for the performance.
Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird and Meryl Streep for The Post.
Ironically, I would say the thing I didn't like about I, Tonya the most was the performances. Mm. I thought it was very...
campy.
Yeah, the acting was very sketchy. It was like felt like they were all in an SNL sketch, and I didn't like it.
Actor Timothée Chalamet, Called Me By Your Name. He's also in Lady Bird.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen him before. It's quite good. Daniel Day-Lewis, Daniel Kaluuya, I guess, Get Out. Gary Oldman, Darkest Hour, Denzel Washington, total surprise, Roman J. Israel Esquire.
Oh, the movie that nobody saw. Yeah.
The movie that no
liked.
One has talked about, no one saw.
It tanked and nobody liked it.
Yeah. Actress in supporting role, Mary J. Blige from Mudbound, a Netflix movie that I think got a theatrical, at least qualifying.
I think they released it enough to get a qualifying, but it was primarily
Allison Janney for I, Tonya. Mm-hmm. Leslie Manville for Phantom Thread. Laurie Metcalf, who's great, Lady Bird.
She's very good.
Octavia Spencer in Shape of Water, who's like fine, but it didn't. It just seems like because she's been nominated before.
Because she's Octavia Spencer.
Actor Willem Dafoe in Florida Project. Florida Project was completely shut out of all of the awards except for this one. And I thought it was great. I really liked Florida Project.
And I haven't seen Florida Project.
Oh, yeah. I think it's good. Woody Harrelson, Three Billboards. Richard Jenkins, Shape of Water. Christopher Plummer, All the Money in the World for, you know, in 88 years old, shot out.
For 88 years old and, like, jumping in.
In 8 days,
like, for 8 days, you know, okay.
And then the front...
Oh, just so you know, I gave all the money I made off of that movie to the Time's Up.
All the Money in the World.
Good, thank you. The front runner, Sam Rockwell, the underappreciated and finally getting a role to speak of in Three Billboards.
Sam Rockwell has had so many great lead roles in Indian B movies and I've always liked him. He's so fucking funny.
Yeah, he should be the
lead in comedies.
And he was really good on SNL, I thought, last week.
The sketches were not good, but he was good.
Directors, Chris Nolan and Dunkirk.
Yeah.
Great. Jordan Peele, Get Out.
Yep. Oh, yes.
Greta Gerwig, Lady Bird.
Sure.
PTA, Phantom Thread.
Not and seeing it.
Guillermo del Toro. Apparently, Martin McDonough being punished for the racist stuff for Three Billboards was not part of that.
It was not given.
Okay. And then, you know, we can talk about a couple things like animated feature film Boss Baby, which I think is
really weird. Boss what? Baby.
Yeah, Coco, which I loved.
I didn't see.
And then Coco, and Ferdinand, the Breadwinner, which I don't know, is probably one of those foreign ones. And Loving Vincent, which was an indie about Vincent.
Wait,
Van Gogh.
Lego Batman wasn't nominated? No, I'm being totally serious. No, Lego Batman was that 2016, not 2017?
I think that was last year.
But no one liked it. No one liked it.
No, nobody liked Lego Ninjago. That was the problem.
Lego Batman's
Lego Batman's
that was
really good and really Batman's funny. Fun. Lego Batman's better than all of the movies that you listed that I saw. And I did not see Coco, so I can't speak to that. But I saw, I think, the rest of them.
Animated screenplay, adapted screenplay, sorry. Call Me By Your Name, The Disaster Artist, which is the only... Franco was shut out for Call Me stuff.
Yeah, but I mean...
He won the Golden Globe.
I turned off The Disaster Artist.
Did you not? You know, it's funny, my wife said... I was like, do you want to see The Disaster Artist? And she's like, do I want to watch a movie where James Franco makes fun of a guy for being an idiot and making a shitty movie? No. And I hadn't really thought of it that way. Because that's all I've been doing with The Room ever since I saw The Room, is making fun of it for being crappy. But it's an interesting point to make a whole movie about.
No, they're just doing it with
a budget.
It just
feels like this joke has been, it's 2004. Let it go.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I thought it was...
And also, he did not deserve the Golden Globe for that.
No, I thought it had some fun moments. Overall, I wasn't that taken with it. Logan, which I loved, and it was a surprise.
I thought that was kind of... The weird thing is they kind of, snuck it into the adapted screenplay, because technically it's adapted from... But it's not adapted from an actual comic book story.
But there was an instance like 5 years ago where it was adapted because a guy adapted it from his own short film, his own original short film.
Yeah, but the actual story of the movie is not a comic book.
No, I know, but
it's
that's...
like elements from different stories.
Totally, yeah.
But it's kind of, but still, I still like it.
Yeah, Molly's Game, Sorkin's Automatic, you know, which I actually like Molly Game.
Was it good?
Yeah,
I like the idea. It looks like
it's
fun movie.
You know, if you like Sorkin, it's kind of fun.
I don't like Sorkin, but I like the concept of Molly's.
Yeah, and Mudbound. Well, it's really nice to see Michael Cera playing Tobey Maguire. Asshole. It's great. And Mudbound, original Big Sick.
Yeah.
Sure. And I still like the Big Sick. I know But you were not.
No, I thought you didn't think
it was as good as
it. No, I didn't think it was best movie.
I liked The Big Sick, and
I think it fits here.
And I, you know, I saw Mudbound, and I liked it, but I didn't think it was great.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I thought it was like very long, and ultimately, once you get into Act Three, it becomes kind of predictable where the story's going.
Yeah.
Pretty mm-hmm. quickly. But it did in the early act stuff. It was doing stuff that I, you know, was cool that yeah. I really liked.
I think it fits.
And the cinematography though, which I think it actually really deserves.
Of what?
Mudbound.
Mudbound. Yes.
Because it was really beautiful, beautifully shot.
Yeah, we will talk about that. Get Out. Get Out. Lady Bird. Shape of Water and Three Billboards. And then yeah, cinematography. Other notable things. Cinematography. Roger Deakins. Blade Runner 2049. He may be a Scorsese for The Departed.
Yeah.
Like not his best movie, but
it's still beautiful. I mean, every frame of that movie is gorgeous. Time, but that movie's
in his 70s.
Yeah, what are the contenders?
Yeah, but
there?
He's gonna lose to Dunkirk's gonna
Darkest
win.
Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Mudbound, Shape of Water, Mudbound, notable first female cinematographer.
Well, that could politically
maybe Rachel Morrison,
maybe, but I think Dunkirk's gonna get
Yeah. Anyway, those are the Oscars. Just one. So we sort of talk throughout any snubs or surprises that you can think of. Any things you wish, or not you. Well, we'll do the you wish later. But any like snubs, I can sort of tell you what are the what people have been talking about.
Sure.
Yeah. Let's see those.
Let's see. We talked about all of these surprises. Rachel Morrison for Mudbound, Jordan Peele for director, producer, writer, Phantom Thread, because it was sort of a long shot. Denzel Washington, no one saw that movie or liked it. And Logan, because genre, you know, Marvel thing.
Those are the surprises?
Yeah. And,
yeah, and
Leslie Manville for Phantom Thread is not a known entity, and the movie was overperformed at the awards. Snubs, people thought Wonder Woman would get something.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that you could go, like for Wonder Woman, like a genre picture like that, I would see, like, maybe, like, costumes, I could see. Maybe a snub, because the costumes across the board were actually really pretty great. Maybe cinematography, effects, maybe sound.
Yeah.
But, you know, as much as I actually really enjoyed that movie, it does have the same kind of third act problem that all those comic movies have now, which is
who cares?
It ends up into just like two cartoons punching each other.
I did not care for Wonder Woman at all. James Franco, as we said, Mudbound did not get a best picture.
Is that I don't know. It's hard to know with this Me Too Time's Up stuff what a snub is or what just like.
Well, no, but because he had won a lot of the critics circle, like different critics circle awards and the Golden Globe. That is seen as a snub.
A Mudbound, I don't think it was necessarily snubbed because I watched that movie and I think it's like, I enjoyed a lot of it, but I also thought it was very long. I thought it could have been like trimmed to a much tighter film.
Yeah. I heard it's good.
So it's still good, but I, you know, like, because of that, I'm like, I don't know if that's necessarily a snub, but that doesn't mean it's a bad movie.
Jane, the documentary about Jane Goodall was not nominated, which is great. I saw that. Jessica Chastain from Molly's Game. Armie Hammer, a lot of people thought Call Me By Your Name, he would be nominated. He was not.
He's very good.
The Big Sick and or Holly Hunter for that movie. Steven Spielberg for The Post.
Holly Hunter maybe, you know.
Hunter was good.
I like The Big Sick a lot, but I also understand, you know,
lighter.
It's a little lighter. It's not quite in the...
Tom Hanks was not nominated in Florida Project. Any nominations you were pissed to not have happened?
Honestly, like as far as what the Oscar-y types of movies are.
It can be anything.
Oh, well.
You guys didn't get my text.
No, I got your text. It's just we were in the middle of Hostels, so it was hard to. Well, I probably could. I thought about it a little bit because that's a slow picture.
I thought about it for 1 minute. I have four.
Well, but the thing is for me, like when I think about the Oscars, I can't judge it because it's not the shit they. That's not my genre. And I watch these movies only because I get screeners. I would never go out and see most of these movies. Like The Big Sick, yes, I'll go see that because that's a comedy and that's in, you know, my realm of possibility. And Dunkirk is a war movie, so I'll go see it. But I'm not into dramas mostly, you know. So for me to judge, like, I think the Belko Experiment is a better movie than a lot of these movies because it delivers on what it's supposed to. It's 90 minutes of violent mayhem. You know,
I want to
but
see
most
that.
People, but not exa- yeah, it's not but, exactly but Oscar most, material.
This is what
but
I'm
it's
saying.
A fun movie.
It's okay. A fun movie, but it's most okay. People who watch the Oscars would say, well, you like movies that have no business being that violent because they don't have enough character development, all this stuff that makes it matter when it's violent.
Right. And I'm like, they're not, yeah, quote unquote, good enough.
Yeah, I'm just going to see a movie to be entertained.
Yeah, there's an undeniable prestige quality that.
Yeah.
And the prestige.
To remove would be, you know, impossible.
Well, no, and I understand that. And, yeah. You know, I think the Oscars just in general is not my thing. So, I mean, if I was running the Oscars, the Belko Experiment would be in there. That's all I'm saying. But I'm glad
good?
Get Out is. Right. Is the Belko Experiment that good? Yes, as a B movie, it's pretty much perfect.
Honestly, I think in terms of the best director, I think Get Out is my favorite contender for that. I think it's the tightest, cleanest directed movie in that list.
Yeah, it's kind of
because I think like Dunkirk takes best picture, but for me, Get Out takes best director.
I think that's
fair.
Except totally fair. I was pissed to not see Holly Hunter get nominated just because I like Holly Hunter. Yeah. I wasn't.
And she is really good.
I just think.
Yeah.
Well, and Everybody Loves Raymond in that movie, I thought, who has never been a guy who I was never into his comedy, never into his show, never into his movies. I thought he was so fucking good in this movie. And I realized that, like, sometimes actors, their performances are elevated by just being challenged by great performers, but who cares what the reason was? Sure. I thought he was so good. I thought he was heartbreaking. And
yeah.
But I think you're right. Cause he was playing off of Holly Hunter.
Yeah.
And he got to be, and that elevated his game.
Totally.
Yeah, cause he is a, you know, I mean, at heart, he's a stand up comedian who transitioned into being an actor.
But that, you know, and maybe that's the perspective and that's why he didn't, I don't know how they decide these things, but maybe that's, my perspective is skewed because it's about this particular guy, but I mean, he was so good. He's just as good as anybody who got nominated for any of the acting things. So why not him?
Why
I
not?
Don't know.
I think Michael Stuhlgart,
What?
Michael Stuhlbart, Gart.
Stuhlgart.
Should have been nominated for one of the three movies he was in. Probably not The Post, but either, Shape of Water, or more likely, Call Me by Your Name. I thought he was great.
Yeah, very good.
I haven't seen it.
Wow, that's amazing. I've never heard of him before. He's in three movies.
Well, he was nominated for Simple Man. What was that Coen Brothers movie with the guy on a roof?
Oh, it was Simple Man.
It was Simple Man.
Yeah.
Oh, I never saw that. So
not Simple Man.
Who was he? Oh no,
he's the lead.
That's the Simple Man.
Oh no,
Something Man. Serious Man.
Serious Man. Very Serious Man.
Yeah. That's him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I never watched that. Okay.
He's on Fargo this past season.
I didn't see the new season of Fargo either.
The right-hand man. Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
you guys,
shit.
I moved over the summer, so I didn't get to see any of the summer shows.
He's terrific. He is a really terrific.
I was pissed. Also, I think Good Time was one of my favorite movies last year.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You got to see Good Time.
I can't wait to see
it. Oh, it's fun. Robert Pattinson. It's really? Good. Oh, yeah. It's on like Netflix. Or maybe I iTunes it. I watched it the other night.
Free Fire could have gotten something.
Free Fire is right here.
Free Fire should have been like
John Wick
best,
2.
Best.
John Wick 2.
John Wick
I was gonna 2 mention
and Free
that,
Fire
yeah.
should have been competing for like best mayhem.
Yeah.
Free Fire and John Wick 2 were like the best times I had at the theater this year.
Yeah. Those two and Belko Experiment were the most fun I had at the theater.
All right. Well, that is our theme discussion. We'll see who wins the Oscars.
Oh, I like Jumanji. What am I talking about?
Oh.
Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle is the most delightful movie I've seen all year.
Really?
It's perfect family entertainment. And it's doing great at the box office. The critics were on the fence about it. It's great.
Wow.
All right. That's a big thumbs up for Jumanji.
Best picture of the year, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Sure, of course.
Dwayne Johnson, best actor. Kevin Hart, best supporting actor.
Shut up.
Jack Black.
Karen Gillian.
Jack Black. Hear me out. Jack Black, best supporting actress. I know that sounds weird, but you have to see the
movie. I know what you mean. Guys, that theme tells us it's time for movie jail.
Yeah, the transition theme that Todd ignored.
This is where we will put a...
I had stuff to say.
That should be on your tombstone. Too. I had stuff to say. That means it's time for movie jail, which means we are putting a film professional on trial for sins against cinema. And if seen guilty, which, you know, they usually are.
It's weird.
They were remanded to the Robert De Niro Federal Penitentiary complex. That's all I will say.
There's so much stuff there.
There's so much stuff. So many different levels of in this penal system. And oye, oye, me, I'm coming in. My bailiff has been drinking all day.
Judge Falk.
That's okay. Don't just take a seat. Barrister Stephen J. Skelton.
Your Honor.
The J means justice. Oh, no. Have you been drinking with my bailiff all day?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
You don't have to plead the fifth. You're an attorney. Oh, boy.
All right. Here we go. This is a difficult case, Your Honor.
Oh, boy.
Is it me?
Yeah. Well, you're the... Yeah. Who am I talking to?
You're putting him on trial for crimes against cinema?
This is a difficult case, Your Honor, as I am not bringing charges against an individual or a group of people in the entertainment industry, but rather I am accusing a general concept of crimes against cinema.
Oh, this is unprecedented, Your Honor.
All right. The last decade has given rise to a new framework of producing genre content for film and television that, in an effort to chase the billions of dollars generated by the most famous example, have led to convoluted, confusing, and just plain absurd choices by movie studios at the expense of good story ideas. Mm. I am, of course, talking about the concept of the shared cinematic universe.
Oh, boy.
The basic idea of a shared cinematic universe is not new. The old Universal monsters essentially qualify, with their characters showing up in each other's movies on occasion. But the recent trend of a detailed shared continuity among movies set in a shared cinematic universe is the new dangerous element that movie studios are scrambling to emulate without even asking if it's appropriate for their properties. In 2008... Excuse me. The Marvel movie Iron Man was a mostly unexpected hit, but it introduced this shared continuity concept in a concrete form. The shared continuity was expanded upon in subsequent Marvel movies, bringing characters together from the different franchises for a mega event in 2012's The Avengers. Listen to me, please.
This is my corner. I will
fade out when I want to.
I will go upstairs to get beer during your speech if I want to.
The Avengers was pretty fun and had the novelty of never having been done before in cinema. I'm not opposed to fun things like this. However, with the stunning success of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and its multiple franchises, including television shows that are technically part of the same shared continuity, it was inevitable that copycat attempts would be made. The most visible of these so far is, of course, the Warner Brothers DC Comics movies featuring Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. The critical response to these movies has not been nearly as positive as the Marvel entries, and in the case of some of the movies, Batman v Superman and Justice League, it feels like Warner Brothers was trying to play catch up so they could have their big event team-up movie right away instead of just telling some fun comic book stories. Essentially, they skipped the critical part of what made the Marvel Cinematic Universe work, building up to a team-up through several individual franchise stories. Even more... Alright, you know, I don't want to read the rest of this. The bottom line, Your Honor... Is that
you fast forwarded yourself?
You're done.
It's the bottom line, Your Honor, is that shared continuity cinematic universes can only ultimately produce one kind of story. All the heroes have to band together to save the world or galaxy or universe from total destruction. We got Save the World in the Avengers. We're going to get Save the Universe in the upcoming Avengers Infinity War. Marvel got there first and they got it covered. Smartly, Star Wars keeps things in their own lanes, main franchise movies and one-offs without team-ups. More like running a classic movie franchise. This is the way to go. Your Honor, I'm asking for a moratorium on new shared cinematic universes with shared continuities, where the whole focus is to drive to the big team-up. Disney/Marvel is the only one who's done it with success, so they get to keep doing it. So, like, the new Universal monster movies with their dark universe and Tom Cruise Mummy, which is basically a movie about a plane crash and then a really cool plane crash and then maybe a mummy at some point. That's a bomb. Forget it. They don't know what they're doing. Hasbro's trying to do like a mashup with all of their toy properties, including Transformers and G.I. Joe. Like, Transformers needs more characters that cause explosions. Mm. We don't need that.
No, you don't need that.
Everybody needs to concentrate on building up their franchises. Yeah, with fun story-first ideas that don't have to worry about what mega arc is on the horizon. Less Justice League, more Fast and Furious. The prosecution rests.
Your Honor, with all due respect, I want you to be very careful how you rule on this, because technically speaking, The Crown, Dunkirk, and The Darkest Hour are shared universe films. So, and that's real history. So you could be blowing real history out of the water.
I would also like to remind the court
that the
bailiff is drunk. You know,
it's a TV show, right? The Crown's a TV show.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Marvel stuff. It's on the TV too. It's a shared universe. Just be careful.
Dante's Peak and Volcano are a shared universe.
That's correct. And do you want to fuck that up?
Then Fruitvale Station and The Rock are a shared universe because they have barrier transit in it.
I'm just saying, be careful how you rule. That's all I'm suggesting.
I would just remind the court that the bailiff is drunk.
I rule that my bailiff needs to dry out.
I put him in the tank.
You're in the tank?
God damn it.
Again.
With Robert Downey.
And all right. Shared cinematic universes. You've been found guilty by this judge who does not enjoy you. You will go away until such time as you are needed, which is never, so go fuck off.
Wow.
All I was saying is that's it on shared cinematic. Our true stories is share our universe shared. There are all true stories from our particular actual universe. Is that a shared universe
fucking
situation?
Now he's high. Killer point.
I don't know why you guys... Whoa. What? I want to talk about this more because I don't think you guys are taking me very seriously. And I think,
Hey.
What?
Scary.
I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire!
You guys, that's just Nick Cage. Don't worry about him. But that does mean that it's time for the Nick Cage Memorial Bizarre Line Reading.
Oh, my God.
This is the time of the podcast where we talk about Nick Cage's canon of weird line readings and put another nominee up alongside his best line readings. And this would be Todd. Todd, what do you have for us?
I have essentially what is the entire supporting cast of a movie doing bizarre line readings together. Do you remember in Footloose, when they all came together for the town meeting to decide whether or not there'd be a dance?
Oh, yeah. I think I do.
And the main characters were there to defend their case.
Yep. Yeah.
So imagine that scene, but without the main characters, where it's just the people of the town deciding the fate of the main characters.
Oh, this is like a loop group?
So what this movie is, it's called Rad.
Oh, this is a movie.
Is that a BMX movie?
It's a BMX film. And this is the town meeting. What has happened is they're hosting this big BMX race event in their town. There are all these great BMX racers. But then the local, who's a BMX kid, wants to get in. And he qualifies, but he doesn't have a sponsor. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a sponsor who gives you at least $50,000 to join the event. So the townspeople
are trying to decide
if they should raise the money so this kid can race in their own hometown event.
Right.
And they're in an argument. At the end, as you'll hear, the town cop, the small town cop, stands up to say what he has to say about the BMX bikers.
Phenomenal.
Quiet down. Quiet. It's not right. Those kids worked as hard as they could.
That's right.
Yes. They worked as hard as they could.
As mayor, I see no point in wasting good money.
It's not a point. Why not?
I agree with her. I think we should take every opportunity to give a local boy a chance. And he's such a nice boy.
Not a waste.
I'm thirsty.
I love her.
Wait, can I have a word here?
This is the cop.
I thought I heard it all till now. I've watched these kids grow up. I've chased every one of them. I think Crew and his friends have done something special. Real special. They have given themselves hope, and all your talk about dollars is killing that hope. If someone doesn't see that Crew has this opportunity, well, I guess we'll just all have to learn to live with it.
And the honestly the housewife in that who's like great. he's such a nice boy.
Like she's after him.
Oh, she is.
Oh, she turns up in the whole movie. She's constantly going, he's such a nice boy.
She was acting so hard, you guys. All right, it feels like you guys have 3 minutes to discuss Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
Oh, because you got to make, you got to run to the. It's Star Wars time, you guys.
So why are we discussing Star Wars? Because we got a.
No. We had a film pick listener asked us, wanted to know what our thoughts were on The Last Jedi.
Oh, okay. And so what were your thoughts about The Last Jedi?
I saw The Last Jedi, and, you know, it's. I don't have controversial thoughts about The Last Jedi. I thought it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
There were bits I enjoyed. There were bits I thought it was too long.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problems that I have with it are mostly due to Disney, obviously Disney corporates and J.J. Abrams' choices from the last movie to kind of try and reset the status quo of Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
rather than try and chart some sort of new territory,
mm-hmm.
and tell a new story. So you're kind of beholden. The ultimate problem with Star Wars and keeping that franchise going is it gets super depressing because you have to constantly have a war going on. So... the end of The Last Jedi was basically a resetting to the beginning of the first Star Wars movie, but worse.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was kind of a downer. I was like, oh, wow, now they're even worse off than they were 40 years ago.
Yeah, there's a lot to the new franchise that raises those kind of questions. My biggest problem with The Last Jedi is simple. I didn't understand what was happening. I thought the story was very convoluted. I didn't know what anyone was trying to accomplish. I didn't understand the character arc.
And that's the end of talking about Star Wars.
And what they were going through. But I realized this when you were saying what you were just mm-hmm. saying. I'll just wrap up the Star Wars real fast, Steve. I'm very sorry.
I was making a joke.
I know. I'm very sorry. But I'll just wrap this up saying it this way. It's this. I didn't like The Last Jedi for essentially the same reasons that Alien Covenant didn't work for me.
Oh,
even
good
though,
point. Good point.
And I think it's entirely because now the story canon of, you know, the franchise is beholden to a shit prequel. And I think the new movies are beholden to the George Lucas prequels. They have to. It's like the whole thing about the Jedi, and the whole reason that the writer director of this kind of reset what the Jedi was back to. Hey, kids can be Jedis too. You don't have to have royal blood to it. But to dedicate an entire movie to explaining away something as stupid as making it about royal blood, which George Lucas did in the prequels.
Having to undo a dumb choice.
Like everything is about undoing. Like the best new Star Wars movie is Rogue One, and that's mostly a movie about explaining plot holes from the very first one in the entire franchise. Yeah. So I think this is the problem.
Down with universes.
Yep.
good thing they're in jail.
Go to jail, universes. You're an asshole.
What?
Hey guys, that music from Adam Blau, our good friend Adam Blau,
that Todd ruined,
tells us that it's time for some trivia. Yes, we're going to take a little trip down game lane.
We're doing straight trivia?
No.
It's gay trivia.
Oh,
it's all gay trivia.
It's just a game.
You said straight trivia. I said it's gay trivia.
Yeah, never mind. No, that's good.
So anyway, this
dad joke.
This is as everyone knows, Oscar season. It's time to recognize very important movies about very important subjects.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I am starting a new very important specialty movie studio.
Oh Christ! Here we go.
Sexy.
I need you guys.
This is not straight
trivia. I
called
you two in. No, it's not.
We went to a double feature and have been drinking a little today.
I've told you, I brought you in to pitch me some very important movies surrounding very important topics for my upcoming slate.
Oh, okay.
There are 8 topics that are very near and dear to my heart.
Oh, man.
I need you guys to pitch me a plot, a cast, minimum 3 actors,
mm-hmm.
and the title.
Well, plot, actors, and do we get any information?
Or do we just pitch you something?
Okay, subject, and then a plot, actors, and a title.
Who wants to go first?
Oh, boy, this is going to hurt.
I'll go first.
This is
going
to hurt.
Todd.
I'm going first. I'm jumping in.
Yeah, it's big. Get in the pool.
Might as well. Might as well.
And I'm going to give you guys a budget.
A budget?
Yeah.
Like that's how, depending on our answers, we get our budget, or you're giving us a budget out of the gate and we have to figure out how to allocate monies?
No. Based on your...
Oh, okay.
Why are you trying to make it more complicated?
I'm just trying to clarify.
And this is Oscar bait. Todd, we're doing Oscar bait. Right?
This is Oscar bait. Yeah. Think about Oscar bait. The subject is very important to me.
I get it.
Adult bullying.
Adult bullying?
God, I wish I'd gotten that.
Not teen bullying. Adult boy.
Okay, I get you.
Can I just a gimme? Vince Vaughn has to be in this movie.
So it's, you want a plot, a title, and 3 cast members.
Yeah.
All right. So the plot of your adult bullying film is this. This is a movie about an artist, creative person.
Oh, played by...
I'll get to that.
Okay.
Slow down. Let me do the plot first, and then
I'm new at this. I have a lot of money from my periodontic.
I get it. Just give me a second. Let me tell you what it is first, and then I'll tell you who's in it.
Sorry, you know better than me.
Yeah. So here's the plot. It's very simple.
Gold Teeth Productions.
It's very simple, but it's very real, and it matters.
Yeah.
So this is a story about an artist, and. And he is a visual artist.
Yeah. Ooh.
And as a child, he decides to break into television. And he his dream job comes true in Hollywood. He gets a TV show. It's a half hour.
Wait, he's a visual artist as a child?
Yeah, he's a visual artist as a child. He realizes to make money, he's got to get into television put his vision on the screen to make actual money.
Okay.
But he's still an artist, so he's not a sellout. He can't, he's not going to be, working on Young Sheldon or some bullshit like that. Like, this is real stuff. So he's got to work in the realm of, cable television. And he gets a single camera, a half hour show. It's sort of, I don't know. It's like just imagine it like an anti-romantic comedy or something like that. It's got a good sense of humor, but it's like darkly tinged, but at its center is like, it's got like a gooey romantic center about love. And it's really nice. And people like it, but it doesn't get huge ratings. So he doesn't get a lot of money from the network to make it. So in order, to make it work as a job, because they renew it for a couple of seasons, he gets a house very close to where he shoots it, and he walks to work to save money and be good for the environment, right? But then Chuck Lorre lives down the street from him and is aware of what he's doing and doesn't like it because his shows are funnier. And Chuck Lorre gets a band of network directors and show creators together. And every time this guy is just trying to go to work to make his critically acclaimed show, these fucking showrunners kick the living fuck out of him. It's just physical abuse.
Yeah.
And he shows up to work every day with black eyes. And he's ashamed of it because, like, how do you get beaten up by these fat old white guys on a regular basis? That's embarrassing. So he doesn't tell anybody. And he's got to keep it to himself. This movie is called I'm Not the Worst. And and it stars as the lead guy, as the showrunner. It stars the what's the kid's name from Baby Driver? What's that kid?
Anton Elgart.
Yeah, Anton Elgart is that kid, right? And Jeremy Piven plays Chuck Lorre.
Oh,
right. And then
who's the love interest?
He's not hireable right now, is he?
He is in this role because people will accept him as a complete asshole.
Yeah.
And then the love interest slash wife, mother of his child, is played by a ginger who would be
Susan Sarandon.
Chastain.
Chastain. Let's go with Chastain. I like Chastain.
All right.
That's my pitch.
The movie, the TV show within the movie sounds stupid. So I will want to change that to something relevant.
Okay, that's
like
fair.
Maybe like Asian people fighting crime in Hawaii. I like what you're saying. So I'm going to give you, and Chastain is always good for a couple mil. I'm going to give you $8 million to make this. It's lo-fi, it's fists lo-fi. And feet.
Yeah, that's well done, good.
Well done. All right, mil.
Okay. Fists and feet and stuff.
So fists and feet.
Yeah.
Skeleton.
Yes.
This is very... very near and dear to my heart.
I'm listening.
The Special Olympics.
Oh, boy. I mean, is there anything more precious?
than the challenge? No.
Yeah, it's...
no, that's why I...
And I, you know, I... first off, I'm grateful you've come to me with this subject. Because I really, really want to do it justice. And
the two things I know is gum disease and indie
yeah.
cinema.
And I know, yeah, as a periodontist, I know, you know, keeping the teeth clean of all clean. God's children is important to you. So the Special Olympics.
I'm quite Christian, yes.
Yeah.
As most dentists
are. You know, this is, I think what would be most relevant...
Mm.
These days is the Special Olympics, you know, being overtaken by corporate interests. Right? So it becomes more of kind of like a corporate intrigue versus, family values from the heart. And it's a battle between the powers that be that want to profit off of the Special Olympics and line their pockets. And, you know, so we've got a, you know, we've got a...
I hate Special Olympics profiteers.
Our villain is a business executive, but we want a villain that's charming.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so he's got kind of a flavor to him. So I'm thinking like a John Slattery. Silver Fox. He's our corporate villain who wants to line his pockets from profiting off of the Special Olympics. And so opposing him is a ragtag group.
Of special needs kids.
Of special needs kids, led by their coach.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, my God. This is so good.
Yeah. Who is nothing but a lovable, supportive teddy bear, but strict. Because he makes sure the kids, you know, do all their exercises so they can win the sports.
I'm just going to add something. I like this. I need a name in one of these roles.
Oh, we want a big name.
I just need a little more.
Let's put in the middle of this the big star who the big star who is
what sport?
He's brought in as the master of ceremonies of the Special Olympics. So he's put in the middle of this between the corporate and the heart.
Yeah.
And who better to settle that dispute than The Rock?
Oh, going for his acting. Oh, okay.
No, not the acting. The wholesomeness, the love, the all-Americanness.
And the Oh boy. Okay.
Those are the three main things.
You know, I got to keep this for a price though, just because I'm going to give you 17 mil and I'm deferring a whole lot of payment for The Rock.
That's no, great. most of the budget will go to The Rock because he will not budge on his fee.
Well, good. I think for me, he will.
That's
well,
cool.
You may be throwing some cleanings.
Todd.
You know The Rock? What?
Near and dear to my heart, shingles.
Oh, shingles, of course.
It's basically a very painful adult chicken pox.
Yeah, this is a... this is one of these movies that the first half takes place in one era, and the second half takes place in another
era. Prestigious.
Yeah. So the first half is about, what's the name of the kid who plays the new Spider-Man?
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. So Tom Holland is a kid, you know? He's a kid in high school, gets the chicken pox.
Oh, boy.
Ruins his prom. Fucks up his prom.
No.
He's sick with it. He thought he was going to lose his virginity.
Yeah.
Sick with the chicken pox. Yeah. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah. So that's the first half of the movie. It's just this coming of age, awesome movie, ends in chicken pox.
Right.
And you think it's over.
And he doesn't get to fuck Supergirl.
He doesn't get to fuck Supergirl.
We're putting Supergirl in this.
We'll put Supergirl.
You said Marissa Benoit.
Benoit.
And Tom Holland.
Yeah, Supergirl and Tom Holland in the first half.
I mean, yeah, they're probably not 10 years.
Second half.
But what, well, Benjamin Button, one of them.
It'll be fine.
No, we'll be fine. You just fix it in post. So the second half of the movie is the shingles half of the movie.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And then Tom Holland.
Kid grows up.
But now he's older.
Who's he played by?
He's played by Tom Hardy.
Oh.
And you think he's impenetrable. You think he can't be hurt? He's Tom Hardy. He's awesome.
He's Bane.
Is he a boxer now?
And you think he already got chicken pox. That virus can't come back, but it can.
What does he do now?
What's he do?
Yeah.
As a business?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a small business owner, American small business owner. He runs a bakery that does not cater to LGBTQ people, so he has to deal with that.
Ooh.
He doesn't like the gays, but then he gets the shingles.
Wait, what?
Listen, he gets the shingles, which he doesn't think he can get because he already had chicken pox, but it turns out these viruses can come up more than once.
Yeah,
so he gets the shingles. It's way worse. It's horrible.
And his doctor,
he almost loses his business. Guess who saves his business? Guess who helps?
Who?
The LGBTQ community rallies around him because they see how sick he is and so sad, and they help him anyway, even though he was an asshole.
I'd love some color in this film. Who might play the leader of that?
Octavia Spencer. is the
right.
Most lesbianic black lady who ever happened. She's awesome.
What's it called?
This movie?
Yeah.
It's called Shingled.
All right. I'm going to give you...
A lot of people are going to think it's about roofers, but it's not.
I'm going to give you 10.5 mil.
That's good.
Okay,
yeah,
that's cool.
Skeleton, I just realized for this check to be released, I need a title for the film.
Oh, for the Special Olympics film. Yeah. I would go with... I'm like so broken from the flow that was going so well in the pitch. I would say Oh boy.
I'm gonna reduce it to 14 million.
Yeah, because we were gonna need to workshop the title.
Challenged.
Jesus.
Wow.
Skeleton.
I am going to pretend I like
this. This is going so well. I'm gonna
better than tardy or something like that.
Oh, okay. This is going so well. I'm gonna reduce.
I said better than.
I'm gonna
better
cut than. This down to three apiece.
You're editing on the go.
A good idea.
So now this
skeleton. STD in retirement communities.
That's actually a great idea for a comedy. It's
okay,
actually a good idea. I think we should move on to the next one.
It's definitely a good, definitely a comedy.
It's gonorrific.
Well, you just took my time.
Sorry.
Like, seriously, there's not going to be a better title than that.
Gonorrhific.
But let me just start by saying Helen Mirren is the most the latest resident at the retirement community.
Yeah.
So this movie starts with her moving in,
just slow mo,
and yeah, some her boobs. Her family dumping her off,
old boobs bouncing.
Well, no, it's not porno yet. Oh, it's okay. It's the
no, but I mean in a tasteful.
Yeah, no, it's her
Henley.
It's her family. it's her son played by Jamie Bamber from Battlestar Galactica, is shuffling her off to the old folks' home so he doesn't have to deal with her anymore, and then she shows up there. And she starts to acclimate to the,
sure.
you know, to the new place. And she starts to find out that, like, people are getting a little freaky around here.
Oh.
And it's kind of a scene.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
And, you know, we've got, Brian Cox.
Oh.
Who his last name is Cox.
Exactly. He's kind of the ringleader of kind of this kind of, like orgy ring in the old folks home.
Oh boy.
So he kind of like, he's the guy, he charms the nurses to figure out their schedules so he knows when people can change rooms.
Right, sure.
And get it on and get back without getting caught.
Mm.
They kind of become confidants. And, but then of course comes, you know, the 1 year later, it's time for your annual physicals. And then there's kind of a rash of some outbreaks. And it seems like everyone in the old folks' home has the same STD. What's happening? What's going on? And then all of the families and the kids have to come in and become the parents.
Well, I need a third cast member, though, obviously.
Okay, of course you need a third cast member.
Yeah, what are you even talking about?
So what we have here is kind of the voice of reason in the old folks song. Okay. Of course, is Ian McKellen.
Oh sure, yeah. Sure.
You know, because he's seen it all.
And plain gay.
Of course.
Of course.
And he's seen it all, and he knows the score, and he knows what's going on.
I see where you're laying
and
down.
And so he's the guy that is able to organize all the old folks to get their story straight, to fool their families, so they can go back to fucking.
What's it called? This sounds hilarious.
it's called Senior Transmitted Disease.
Oh,
we're gonna workshop that one.
I thought you were gonna call it Old G.
That'll take. So I'm gonna give you. It's a contained story. I'm gonna gotta keep it low. I'm gonna give you $6 million for that one. And we're gonna have to spend some consultant fee on. Todd, your last one.
Shit! It should have been Senior Transmitted Delight.
She screwed the pooch.
Todd.
Uh huh.
Let's see.
Something that means a lot to you, please. An issue that really hits home.
Oh, boy. There's so many. I mean, these are heartbreaking.
Just choose the most sad one.
I'm going to go. I mean, this happened to me so many times. I'm going cruise ship dysentery.
Of course you are. This is a important, obviously.
God, that's
an important,
such a gimme title, though.
Up to the minute.
Oh, I got it too. Yeah.
Up to the minute issue. It's a gimme title.
Yeah.
Come on.
What is it like? The ships?
It's in the ship neighborhood. Yes.
Yeah. I got the ships.
Yeah.
It's shippy. okay, so this
ship's
is
Ship's Creek.
This is a movie up Ship's Creek. All right. I'm going to go
We're
with
in that world.
I would go with that title.
I'll give you $2 million just for that.
We're Up Ship's Creek is the title of the film. The plot is...
Shipping everywhere? Ship happens?
Oh, ship happens. Well, that's the tagline.
That's the tagline. Ship happens.
Yeah, Shiphole. Oh, my God. That's it.
Shiphole.
Shiphole. That's the name because it oh my God, I can make it about race
relations. Cruising for an oozing.
So what happens is
I've got the ships.
This white supremacist couple.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
who,
wow.
Who they are.
Wow.
They
like
are.
No.
But we don't know they're white supremacists in the first act. They just seem like regular old white folk, you know, middle age, maybe pushing 50 white folk. And the romance is dead. They've lost it.
The love and feeling.
They've lost the love and feeling. They can't get it up for each other anymore. And their kids, they're empty nesters. So what do? They say, hey, I want to go on a cruise. You know?
That's what you do.
But these are the times. They don't have the money to get on the top level cruise. They got to find a cheaper cruise.
Budget cruise.
So they get a budget cruise, and they think it's good. It's a carnival situation.
No, they're like the DiCaprio Titanic.
They're from New Hampshire, so they think it's going to be great. They're gonna cruise out of Boston, like right down into the Bermuda area. It's a nice. It sounds like a nice cruise.
No, the Boston to Bermuda circuit.
And they get one of the deals, you know, where you get the rooms that they couldn't sell.
Sure.
You know, which is a common thing with cruise liners anywhere because they have a hard time filling up the rooms at this point.
So you get some deals, sell off blocks
to travel agents, and they get this great deal, and it sounds great. It's a perfect cruise.
Such a good deal.
You know, it's buffets constantly. You know, entertainment constantly, gambling. You know, it's just pools everywhere. It's just fantastic. And these two white supremacists, they get on the cruise ship. You know what it is?
Oh, no.
It's supposed to be an all-black cruise.
Oh.
They're the only two white people.
Oh, boy.
On an entire cruise ship.
This sounds horrible.
Full
yeah, no, there's
of black people.
So many shenanigans.
The white people, of course, are played by Alec Baldwin. And... And Maya Rudolph? And the cruise director is played by Get Out guy. Let's put Get Out guy in there. What's his name?
Dan Calumnia.
Dan Calumnia. That guy, he's the cruise director, and he's like, I don't know how you guys got on this ship. This is super weird. You know what? But we're going to be cool about it.
Also, my Rudolph is, you know, a little dark.
Yeah, she's a little dark. Yeah, but she's playing white.
What?
Which is a thing. You can do that now, right?
Sure.
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know. I'm asking questions. But I
hear what you're saying.
So they get out, and he kind of guides them through it. And in guiding them through, like, the cultural differences, he slowly realizes that they're white supremacists. You know, so in the third act, all the black people on the boat throw them the fuck off the back and they die. How about that?
You hand me, but where's the dysentery?
Oh, yeah, they get diarrhea before they die. Forgot about the diarrhea. I got so hell-bent on race relations.
Maybe a little third act change. Instead of throwing them off, they just... They get them to have dysentery.
The people on the boat give them diarrhea. Yeah. They feed them bad meat.
Yeah.
There you go. That's your movie.
All right.
I'm gonna go home now.
I'm gonna kick this up to my higher division. I'm giving you
your lawyers.
You're a periodontist.
I'm giving you $38 million for this movie.
Holy shit.
For bad meat.
I like Alec Baldwin can sell, baby. All right,
bad
Skelton,
meat.
Last one.
Can I change the title just to Bad Meat?
This is a very, very serious topic to me.
Okay, and I want to take
and
it
I'm
very,
I'm telling
very
you what
seriously.
I'm not giving you.
Okay.
Peanut allergies.
Okay. But it is very serious.
And restless leg syndrome.
Oh, I've been diagnosed with that.
I'm giving you...
I find if you smoke enough indica, not a problem.
It's a very serious topic of American-Canadian hostilities.
Oh, my God. Oops. I don't think we're ready for that.
No, this is actually...
America is.
This is actually a very personal issue for me as well, because I just read an internet article about the upkeep of... the border between America and Canada,
yes.
where it has to be mowed down.
Yes.
So And where the work has to be split between Canadian and American agencies.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a real untold story here.
Jean Deere and Jacques Deere.
Exactly. And so I think it's like, and these people, they're on the edge. Like, anything could snap off at a moment's notice. Yeah.
You think South Korea and North Korea, the DMZ, that's so tough. No.
So this movie is about the border that is shaved between the U.S.
I love it.
And Canada.
It's shaved.
And the agencies shaved. That have to upkeep it and meet to work out the schedules for who deals with the upkeep. So...
What's it called? I get the plot. The movie writes itself.
No, it's absolutely great. So first off, on the American side, it's Adam Scott.
I love that guy.
He's an indie darling.
And he's an indie guy, and he's kind of like, he's the new guy that's brought in to kind of head up the American side.
Sure, yeah, I like that.
Right? And then, and he's fresh-faced. He wants to do his job for his country. And on the other side... The Canadian side, we've got Dave Foley, who is old, jaded, and tired of this shit. And this is the flip side. This is how we're flipping it.
Screwed by a divorce, too.
This is how we're flipping it, because Adam Scott is the super polite one. Dave Foley
Give me the indie award bait actress who gets in between them.
Okay. I'm going to say at this... God damn it. There's so many good choices.
Just think about who's been nominated.
I don't know. I would go back to Party Down.
You know, I would say... I want to throw in a wrench, and I want to do the Chloe Grace Mortens.
Mm-hmm.
And bring her in as she is a forest first activist who doesn't want any of the trees to be cut down that both sides have to cut down. She's in the middle of both of them.
And what is the title of this?
There's so many good titles that you could have for a movie like this. With these guys in it, and Canada, and a line between Canada and the U.S., and you know, I was put on the spot.
Something like the North Wall.
Like, is it the North Wall or a border between us? Mm-hmm. If we want an indie title.
Oh, I like it.
A border between us. Yeah. That's nice.
It's going to be a lot of money. Dave Foley does not work cheap. He has a lot of divorces.
No, he's got a lot of bills to pay.
I would say he does work cheap.
I'm going to go $36
million. Yeah.
That's solid.
So let's see.
I would have gone with Lizzie Kaplan, though, because I'd like to see with her, like her and Adam Scott are so good together.
$56 million for Skelton. I'll send you guys a check.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
$56.5 million.
Oh, a squeaker.
Did I win?
It was a squeaker.
But you know what? You guys' ideas are so good. I'm making the full slate.
Everyone's a winner.
We're all winners.
And slow-mo high five.
It's like the end of Tango and Cash.
Oh, you guys, that's a little... The sad children tell us it's time for our bottom five list. These are the bottom five worst Oscar wins of all time. Number five worst, The Artist for Best Picture. the sappy black and white.
But the dog.
Wordless movie.
I have yet to see it.
6 years ago. Stupid. Number four, Crash.
Crash.
Oh, Paul Haggis's Scientological dumb ode to nonsense. Number three... Although I liked it at the time and probably will still find it entertaining, the fact that Dances with Wolves beat Goodfellas.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
Number two, Gladiator.
Dances with Wolves doesn't hold up.
Gladiator at all.
Yeah. Ugh. Any of God.
And this is a wild card, but in my research I found this one. In 1985, best original song winner was "I Just Called to Say I Love You" by Stevie Wonder from The Woman in Red, which beat Footloose, Ghostbusters, Against All Odds, and Purple Rain.
It beat Purple Rain?
Are you fucking serious?
Purple Rain?
See, that's giving Stevie Wonder an award because Stevie Wonder used to be awesome.
And that,
that's
the bottom five.
Wow, that was a good one.
And moment of positivity, a sorbet to that that sour apple of a list. I don't know a lot of Oscar nominees, but Emily V. Gordon and Kumail Nanjiani are good guys, good people. They've been on my they've done my show at here in LA, public school, and I've been on their podcast about video games, and they're good people, and they're in the neighborhood, and they got nominated for an Oscar, and I'm happy for them for big sake.
Fantastic. Yay.
Yeah, and that's it. All right, everybody. Well, that was a good. That was the first 2018 Film Pigs podcast.
We're starting off with a bang.
With a strong entry.
This is an evergreen episode.
You know what's great about tonight?
It was tight.
Focused.
Yeah. Focused. Didn't get off the rails at all.
No, I think it really helped that Todd and I went to a double feature and we're drinking.
Todd did not get mad.
I didn't get mad.
It's because he's drunk.
It's sort of like a drunk dad nights where daddy doesn't get angry.
Well, it's like dad.
It feels good.
It's a win.
If dad's drunk enough that he's not mad, but if he gets more drunk, then he'll get mad.
Or sentimental, which is even sadder. Because he's just weeping about Ireland.
I'm glad that in your life I'm the abusive dad.
It's not so much abusive, it's just like more pathetic.
Shitty sad dad.
It's like, Todd's the shitty dad at the Film Pigs.
And on behalf of the peacemaking mom, I am the absent son, and we'll see you next week.
I'm so sorry.